So it gives them a safe place to be able to sleep at night, to be stable on their medications. For some of our participants, this is the first safe house they've ever lived in, ever, including when they were little. So it gives them that safe place to be able to heal and take next steps, whether it's working or Social Security, whatever those next steps are for them to find permanent long-term housing.
Welcome to Passive Income Unlocked, where we unlock the doors to intelligent, hands-off real estate investing. We talk to experts in the space about what they do, how they do it, and most importantly, why they do it. My passion is careful, intelligent investing and closing the investing gap one investor at a time. While money doesn't buy happiness, passive income does have the potential to buy back your time. What would you choose to do with your time if you had enough passive income to live your best life? How would you like to spend your days? What kind of impact would you like to make? I'm here to tell you, dream big. There's no ceiling. It's all possible if you take consistent action towards your goals. It's been said that success is 80% mindset and 20% strategy. So we discuss both. Ready to gain knowledge and take action? Let's dive in. Hey, everyone, and welcome back to the show. Today, we have a very, very special guest and show. I'm so excited because here, my company, Lux Capital Investment Group, we're beginning a giving program, which means that every time we close a deal as part of our celebration, we're going to be making a donation to a nonprofit that is making a significant impact on the world. And in this case, I wanted to start with an organization that had a focus on helping people with housing because, you know, we work in housing, we invest in multifamily deals, and affordable housing and transitional housing is just such an important part of a healthy fabric of society and increasing access to that. So I wanted to focus on an organization that focused on housing as part of its mission. And the organization that we chose for this first deal is Bridges to Change, which is an organization that's located in Portland, Oregon. And I'm going to have our dear guest, who I'm going to introduce in just one second, introduce Bridges to Change and all about their mission and what they do. And, you know, I came across Bridges to Change a couple years ago at a fundraiser and have been a donor in the past and just really excited to build this relationship. So I'd now like to welcome Karen Keller to the show. Karen, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
Absolutely. Well, we just really appreciate you taking some time to share about your story and your journey and your work with Bridges to Change. So perhaps we could just get started with you sharing a bit about your role at Bridges to Change and what the Bridges to Change organization does.
So I am the program manager for the mental health program for the Tri-Counties. So I oversee all of our mental health houses, and Bridges to Change as a whole does inpatient services, outpatient services. We have rental properties, we have transitional housing, stabilization housing. So it's really, really grown since it started.
Okay, awesome. And help us understand who the clientele that Bridges to Change serves.
So for my program specifically, our participants are community corrections involved or like mental health court, drug court involved. As far as our inpatient and outpatient, that is a more wider variety of people. People can walk in and get services. And then a lot of those participants will live in our transitional housing and then have the opportunity to move into rental housing when they're done with that program.
Okay, awesome. So let's see if I understand. So it's people, and I mean, I'm so sorry if I messed up the language here, but it's people who are maybe coming out of correctional facilities and transitioning back into kind of like the Portland society.
Correct. A lot of them. So for my program specifically, that is the majority of them. They're coming out of jail or prison. or they might come off of the streets, but they still are justice involved. So they have a probation officer and that's who's placing them in the house. And a lot of our other programs are the same way. They are prison releases or jail releases. And then as far as like outpatient stuff, that can be a wider range of people.
Okay. And when you say wider range of people, are those people who are experiencing issues with like substance use or other types of maybe transitional, transient living? What other types of ranges?
Usually homelessness, usually addiction, a lot of times mental health. What we find is that usually when somebody is homeless, they're not taking their mental health medication. And so a lot of times it's getting them stable on their meds again. And then they usually have a better opportunity to work on the addiction piece once they're stable on their meds.
Okay, awesome. And so if I understand correctly, Bridges to Change has kind of a holistic look at, you know, sort of where a person is at with their anything that's kind of holding them back from living their best life, and mental health, addiction, and housing, supportive housing is part of that, right? So the treatment programs can continue on while these programs are in effect. Is that right?
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, I think that's amazing. Do you happen to know, I mean, it's okay if you don't have like numbers exactly, but I'm just curious, like what the scope of is, you know, how many houses or rooms or people are being impacted by your work today? I mean, I know it's grown. It's okay if you don't have, you know.
I don't know the specific number. I know for my program, I have 6 mental health houses between the tri-counties.
Do those houses have like several rooms? Is that right?
Yeah. So like my men's house in Clackamas County holds 16 clients.
Amazing. Okay. And can you help us understand a bit about how that housing program works?
Yeah. So we are a 6 to 9 month program where they come in, we help them get mental health treatment, medication assisted treatment if they need it. We do groups in the house. We do one-on-ones. We take them grocery shopping to appointments. So we really just walk beside them, helping them put their world back together and to become a productive, happy member of society again.
Awesome. And so when folks come to you, how do they normally find you? And do they have to kind of apply, or what's the process for intake?
So for my program, it's PO referral. The POs pay for the beds. That's who our contract is with. So,
and PO, is that, what does that stand for?
Probation officer. So community corrections, which is the probation officers pay for the beds. That's who our contract is through.
Okay, got it. So probation officers will be the direct, they'll refer people and be the person who's paying, responsible for paying you guys.
Yes.
Okay, great. So they make referrals and then that goes from there. Okay, very, very interesting. It's just helpful to understand how these systems fit together and how, you know, nonprofit like Bridges can work with the system, right? That is, you know, as we know, is broken in a lot of ways, right? And not actually serving people and helping. Okay, great. So thanks for giving us an overview of the type of work that Bridges to Change does. I would also now love to hear, I mean, and we'll maybe go back and forth, but I know that you actually were a client of Bridges to Change. Is that right, Karen?
Not a client, but I am in recovery. So I have livable experience.
Yeah. And I mean, I know that I just thank you so much for coming on the show and being willing to share a bit about your experience. I'd love to just hear some of your journey, you know, and how Bridges to Change was able to help you, because you now work for Bridges to Change. You know, it sounds like you are a productive and happy member of society, and I'd love to hear about that journey.
Yeah. So my addiction started with a prescription from the doctor. I got hurt and they gave me a prescription for pain pills. Up until that point, I had never taken a pain pill in my life. And so when I got the prescription and started taking them, it wasn't very long before I was taking more than what I needed. And then when the prescription went away, I went to heroin. And heroin literally took everything from me, right down to my children.
I'm so sorry, Karen.
And then I got arrested in 2015. And the judge was ready to sentence me to 60 months. And I looked at her and I asked for treatment. And she didn't want to say yes, but after begging for 45 minutes, she agreed. And she said, I'll send you to inpatient treatment, But if you get caught doing anything wrong, you will come back in front of me and you will go to prison for 60 months. And to this day, I don't know if she was serious or not, but it scared me and I didn't want to live that life anymore.
Karen, thank you so much for sharing. Just so that I can understand, what would the, I guess, charge have been that would have, was it just using? I actually don't know that much.
It was theft one.
Okay.
It was a felony charge. It was theft one. And so she sent me to treatment. I got sentenced. I was in jail and I got sentenced to 90 days early release to treatment, which meant when a bed opened up, I could go to treatment. And I did. And I graduated treatment.
That was not with Bridges, right? That's something different.
Okay. It was somewhere else. Yes.
I just, first of all, just want to say that that's amazing that you, you know, advocated for yourself and for 45 minutes just to really show the judge like how much you, you know, wanted to change.
Thank you. And then after treatment, I went to Clean and Sober Housing where my kids came back home. And it was at that point that I decided I wanted to work in the field. And when I had enough clean time, because we have clean time requirements in our, in this work. But it was at that time that I decided I wanted to work in the field because of the rapport and the help that I received while I was in treatment. And so that was my goal. And then once I had enough clean time, that is what I did, is I applied to work in the field.
And so you found Bridges to change as part of your job search.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Well, I mean, just, I'm so sorry that that happened and that a drug or a prescription after, was it an accident of some sort, that led to just such a traumatic and horrible time in your life. And obviously, like, you're a story of inspiration and it's, you know, it's an epidemic, the opioid crisis. So
yeah.
I want to just, before we go on to talk about what you're seeing at Bridges to Change, just ask, if you don't mind, like, what was it when you were first taking the painkillers that, I wouldn't call myself well-versed in understanding this issue. What was it about taking those painkillers as a prescription that like made you want to take more than the prescribed amount?
This show is sponsored by Lux Capital Investment Group. Lux Capital provides pre-vetted, highly favorable investment opportunities on a risk-adjusted basis. Our opportunities are diversified across asset classes, geographies, and operators. We are nothing short of rigorous in our approach to evaluating investments. We focus on downside protection, conservative underwriting, recession-resistant asset classes, and forging strong relationships with operating partners and investors. If you want to be an intelligent, hands-off investor and gain access to the types of deals that I like to invest in personally, make sure to go to lux-cap.com, lux-cap.com, and sign up for our newsletter.
It was the feeling that it gave me. And I don't know, you know, I had never taken one. And so that first one, it gave me energy. Things got done, right? It was just the way my body reacted to it. And it was a feeling I hadn't felt before. And once I took that first pill, I knew I wasn't going to feel that feeling again without it. So yeah, I mean, addiction runs deep in my family, like hindsight 2020. If I were to know then what I know now, I would have never, ever taken the prescription from the doctor. But at the same time, I wouldn't change it for anything other than the pain that I've caused my family and my children. I wouldn't trade my addiction for anything. I'm a completely different person today. I look at things differently. I have more sympathy. I have more empathy. And I get to help people today. And I couldn't do this work if I didn't have my lived experience.
Yeah. I think that's such an amazing outlook and mindset to have that, you know, and I think all of us have to do that with any sort of trauma that we've had in our lives is, I mean, of course, not to minimize it, but to use it as fuel and a understanding that it shapes who we are and can drive us into the future in a positive way. And so it's amazing that you have that mindset. And I'm so in awe of that. So thank you so much. How did you develop that mindset, by the way? Like, did you develop that with the treatment program that the judge sent you to, or what?
You know, I think what it boils down to is after my kids weren't with me and when they came back home, the appreciation that I had for the little things that I just didn't have before my addiction. I just didn't have it. I guess maybe I took it for granted. I don't know, but I just didn't have it. And the things that I missed out on and didn't have during my addiction, when my children came back home and putting my world back together, it just made me appreciate everything that much more. And to know that at the same time, in a blink of an eye, that could all be gone from me again.
Yeah, that's amazing. Well, I'm so glad, you know, not everybody would respond in that way. I mean, ideally we want, of course, everyone to have that kind of resiliency, but it's just amazing that you did. So thank you so much for sharing, you know, that story in a public forum. I really appreciate it and know it's going to help a lot of people out there. So now I would like to ask you what you're witnessing at Bridges to Change, working in the field and having seen many people in these types of, you know, somewhat similar related situations coming through the program.
So we've seen this really cool thing happen. You know, before it was more what we thought clients needed or participants needed. We've seen this really cool thing happen over the last couple of years where we're asking the clients what they want. What's going to help them? What do they want to do? And not only do you get better results, right? Because they want to do it, but we get to walk alongside their journey. And that's the important part, because it is their journey. It's not ours. Like, we get to be a part of it, which is beyond amazing, but it's their journey. And so we've really seen this shift of peer-driven services and not what the funders think they should be doing.
Okay, that's fascinating. Could you describe to us, like, I mean, maybe some examples of what the funders thought, you know, was needed versus, and now what the clients are saying they need and what seems to be getting better results?
So for instance, one of the big things I can think of is we used to require like 3 NA meetings a week, right? No questions you had to do. Well, now it's
what's
self-help.
NA? Is that Narcotics Anonymous?
Yes. And now they don't have to do Narcotics Anonymous. It just has to be self-help meetings. So whatever helps them, whether that's church, therapy, NA, Narcotics Anonymous, Alcoholics Anonymous, Smart Recovery, whatever it looks like for them, whatever is going to help them. Because I can't think of anything worse than being told I have to go to a meeting of something I don't identify with. And so that's one example, that changing the language and making it more ideal for everybody.
Yeah, that's wonderful. I mean, I think that makes so much sense. And I love that you guys are learning and applying what you're learning and seeing different results. And it's not an easy question, right? Like, how to solve this issue. It's so varied and different for every person. And yet, you know, we have no really choice except as a society, except to try, right? And so that's really great. Thanks for sharing that. Yeah. And I'd love to just hear, you know, I didn't mean to interrupt you anymore, that you want to share about how this is impacting people and what their journeys might look like, or how Bridges to Change specifically can help them.
We see people that the people that we're helping, I guess the best part would be, you know, or one of the best parts is when they come back and tell you, you've made a difference, or thank you for being a part of my journey, you know, because it can be really easy to be like, we're not doing enough. You know what I mean? And because our city is in crisis, like it, especially the houselessness population, like it's getting so bad. And so I think it's just important for us to continue to try to help as many people as we can.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that is very telling, right? It can be hard to understand the impact that you're making, but when somebody actually takes the time to come back and say, thank you for being part of this journey and for helping me, you know, it's a tangible way to understand the impact that you're having, even though the work happens every single day, you know, consistently over the course of years, weeks, months, et cetera. And you're right. We do have a city. We live in Portland, Oregon, both of us. And I would actually really like to hear your take on, you know, maybe why things are the way they are right now and being in the field, what you think is needed. And by, you know, we have an issue, it means that our transient population, people living outside, is just very high right now. It always has been, but specifically since COVID, it's been more and it seems like it's gone up and down. But I'd love to hear your take on that, Karen.
I think we need more services for people. We need more housing for people. It's always this kind of tug and pull, right? Like services are needed, but the funding's not there. Services are needed, but the funding's not there. I don't know what the answer is, but I know that we need more services. We need more help for people.
Yeah. Okay. So now I'd like to ask you about the role that housing plays in people's recovery. And, you know, obviously that's a vast question, but if you could provide us your perspective on, you know, how housing is, like having a stable housing is helping people with their addiction recovery or transition back into society, I'd love to hear.
So it gives them a safe place to be able to sleep at night, to be stable on their medications. For some of our participants, this is the first safe house they've ever lived in, ever, including when they were little. So it gives them that safe place to be able to heal and take next steps, whether it's working or Social Security, whatever those next steps are for them to find permanent long-term housing.
That's so important. And would you say that if people don't have that, like what is the impact on their recovery?
So if people don't have that, they go back to the one thing that they know, using.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Karen, for coming on and sharing just like about the work that you do and your own personal journey. I just really appreciate it so much. And I would love to give you the opportunity to share with the listeners how they can learn more about Bridges to Change and maybe make a donation or anything else you want to share.
You can find out more information about us and also donate at our website at bridgestochange.com.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Karen, for coming on the show and sharing. Really appreciate it. And just very, very powerful work that you and the other folks at Bridges to Change are doing. So thank you so much. Have a wonderful day and we'll see you later.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for listening to Passive Income Unlocked. Before you go on to continue with your amazing day, please take a moment to reflect on what you truly desire in life. Then think about one thing you can do to push the ball forward in that direction. Also, please head over to iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts and leave an honest rating and review of this show. It really would mean so much to me. Passive Income Unlocked is brought to you by Lux Capital. Lux works with investors nationwide to invest in real estate. We are closing the investing gap one investor at a time. Connect online at www.lux-cap.com, LUXE-CAP.com, for tons of free educational content to further your success.